Okay.
Right on time.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning. Hello. It's November 20th, 2017. Another week here in Paradise, Dripping Springs, Texas, where we broadcast Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Started right on the second this morning, disciplining myself to start more and more, start right on time to the second. For no particular reason, then it's right on time. Because back in the days, for many moons, come Choctaw, since 1968, being in radio, you had to start on time. I mean, because the news was over, at a certain time, and 3 minutes after the hour, or played a commercial, and there you were. And if you weren't there, I mean, it's... So, that's fun, you know, that's how exciting my life is. What else? Sunshine today, what else? That's it. Well, we don't get too excited here in Dripping Springs, Texas. Just try to stay under the radar. Tomorrow, Ken Roll is today. It's Ken's cool. He's down in Florida, and we're going to say hi to him just a second after I give you a little rundown of the week. Of course, Thanksgiving is Thursday. We'll be off then, and I'll be here on Friday with open phones with turkey stories and faux turkey stories and tofu turkey stories or whatever people eat. And Wednesday, Andrew Goss and the Real World Money will kind of cap off some other Mr. Goss may have gleaned from the JFK released files. They've been releasing more and more. He is an authority on JFK, actually a scholar. He's studied it as much as anybody on the planet. Amazing, the information he has. And so he's been poring over this new stuff, and there hasn't been a lot. I mean, we've seen some interesting memos from Hoover, and you know, and there was a smoking gun. They were trying to make people believe that Lee Harvey was the only assassin, but you know, everybody knows that now that he wasn't, and Hoover certainly knew it. So, I mean, they found a few things, but the real juicy stuff, Mr. Goss doesn't think they're ever gonna let out. I mean, why would they? I mean, if you were holding them in your file, who's going to know what you're going to release? I mean, the whole thing is stupid. But anyway, long story short, it is the 51st anniversary, 54th of the murder of JFK on Wednesday. So we'll kind of wrap up with some other last minute things that he's seen. I think that's all of the files. Maybe there's some more coming up. So we'll do that Wednesday. Also, last week we did 3 hours. He knows more about the monetary system, where the bodies are buried, how this game is played than anybody, probably anybody on the planet. I've known him for 25 years. He's Da Bomb in the World of Money, Andrew Goss. Tomorrow, a fellow out of Jerusalem, Israel. He's gone for many days and many days without water or food. And I've seen some of his videos. He's not a wacko. He's a pretty cool guy. Very, very interesting man. Fairly highly evolved spiritually. He talks about... I say that certainly his spiritual philosophy. I can't speak to his own spiritual evolution because that's a private thing. But anyway, so he's cool, and he's gonna be. It's Ray Mayor. He'll be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Okay, so if you'd like to join the show this morning and talk to Ken, there's a lot of ways. Well, there's two ways you can do that. Nobody uses the phone anymore, but if you'd like to try, it still works. You know, it's just an old technology, but it's 888 663-6386. And then the email, which most people do because they like to type, is patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Ken's a health educator. He's always provocative, mind-expanding. He's into a lot of cool things. He's been on a lot of different diets over the years. He does mostly kind of raw things now, live foods, but he'll fall off the reservation. And Ken Roll, every now and then, do you go to Wrangler and just kind of get a steak for fun of it? You don't do that?
No, I don't.
You don't do that, really?
Yeah, people that eat meat, they'll ask me that, like, you know, they just can't believe I haven't eaten meat in, I don't know, 25 years, maybe.
You little vegetarian, you. God love you.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's good. One of our regulars here that we really love, Adam Bergstrom, he's into eating foods at a certain time, and he tells us that having orange juice, between spleen pancreas time, which is 9 to 11 in the morning, and also right before bed is a wonderful way to keep your thyroid happy and in balance. Isn't that interesting? I thought about you and orange juice in Florida.
Oh, yeah. We've been juicing up some oranges here lately.
Yeah. Are they coming in now? Boy, they're slim pickings here in Texas for good organic oranges. But I guess the season's just about to start, huh?
Yeah. It usually starts around December and it goes through probably March in our yard. You know, it depends on how you're growing them, but we have a wider growth range than most people because we're growing with ormus and stuff.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, we just had some visitors here. I hosted a raw food potluck over the weekend, and we had a bunch of visitors from out of town, and I was showing them our greenhouse, and they couldn't believe we've got tomato plants that are like 6-7 feet tall right now, and they're only about 3-4 weeks old.
Really?
Yeah. And then, I mean, by the time they're done, they'll be 15 feet high and wrapping all around the greenhouse. Uh-huh. And just loaded with tomatoes. But so we get different results here than, you know, what the typical farmers do around Florida growing oranges.
Yeah. And so you, it doesn't get very, oh, so you're in the greenhouse there during the winter. So if it gets...
Well, and actually, wintertime is growing season here because it's weird. You know, the summertime gets so hot and humid that you really can't grow much. And, you know, we grow more than most people because of the way we grow. But really, the fall and the spring are the peak growing seasons. But you can grow a lot of stuff through winter because it doesn't really get down. Even we're up in the Daytona Beach area in the Northeast. And even so, we might get a freeze every 3-4 years at most.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly lately with some of the technologies that I put out, that kind of stops the severe weather. So we tend not to get hard freezes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So much like Texas, I mean, we can't grow much in June, July, August, September. I mean, it's just hot, you know. Just, you know. I think we can grow okra and a lot of okra loves hot weather, but not a lot of other stuff. Boy, it's tough. Farmers markets around here are very sparse, actually, in the middle of summer. It's just, and spring and fall is when everybody gets real, in winter, you know, and they grow a lot of stuff. So do you even have, so you have to cover, your greenhouse is covered, but I guess it's not enclosed totally in heater or anything.
No, we leave it wide open. We've never closed it, actually. We built it, we enclose it when a hurricane comes. That's about the only time. But otherwise, it doesn't get too cold or too hot.
Right.
If we kept it closed up in the summertime, it would get too hot.
Sure. Or even in the winter. I mean, I had mine, Ken, and I had to leave mine open most of the winter. It would just get too hot in there with the sun.
Yeah.
Even
it's,
in the winter.
It's mainly to protect it from the severe sun in the summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not perfectly clear. It's a little bit, I think it's 70% transparent.
Yeah.
So it just gives a little bit of shade to keep the harsh heat on off in the summer.
So do you have raised beds so you don't have to bend over? How do you do it?
We have raised beds with automated sprinkler systems.
Wow.
We have we grow in the ground. We've got 5 acres, and then we have the greenhouse for herbs and certain things that we want to grow year round, and it's close to our kitchen. We planted a lot of food in our yard. And between hurricanes, the wind of the hurricanes actually doesn't really damage them because they're, you know, relatively close to the ground and we're surrounded by trees. It's the flooding. If we have a tidal creek in our backyard and the salt water will flood, and that salt water can kill citrus. So But since we're fertilizing with Ormus, they're a lot tougher and a lot more resistant. Mm-hmm. So this year, even though Hurricane Irma flooded our yard about a foot with water, everything survived.
Now, when you say flooded with Ormus, how do you get the Ormus material into your trees and plants? How do you do that?
Well, we use rock powders like azomite and Jersey green sand and others, granite powder. And then we'll use effective microorganisms. Brand name is SCD Pro Bio Balance.
SCD,
there's a local.
SCD?
Yeah, SCD. That's Sustainable
Simon.
Community. Sustainable Community Development,
okay.
Pro Bio Balance. We have it on my website at freshandalive.com.
Oh, cool.
And you can brew it yourself. That's why I've been teaching people for years to brew it themselves. And so I make gallons of the stuff.
Wow.
And you dilute it down, you know, thousands of parts of water to one part of the EM. So the microbes, when you put the rock powders down first and then you spray the microbes on top, the microbes will eat the rock powders, break them down, and deliver them to the plant roots. And you know, since their volcanic rock powders are high in Ormus, which are these monoatomic minerals, which are extremely rejuvenative, and they really enhance the life force and the strength and the chemistry of the plant. So you get much more nutrient-dense food and much more robust. It's much more resistant to heat, cold, and bugs and all that.
So you put the azomite and the green sand and these things down in the soil, and then you water with the solution of the EMF, effective microorganisms, and that breaks them all down and releases this magic Ormus thing, the Ormus angels.
And what's it do to
a tomato or something? I mean, what are you really doing to that little baby?
Well, what you're doing is what nature already does, except you're giving it more of it. It's not like some kind of chemical abomination.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing normally, you know, depending on what your soil is like, plants will be bigger and stronger and healthier and have more nutrients depending on the soil, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Florida, we have very sandy soil without a lot of nutrients. And other places, like say where I grew up in North Carolina, there was a lot of clay, which is high in Ormus, which are these monoatomic minerals, and a lot of nutrients. And so if you nurture the land and you don't kill it with chemical fertilizers and stuff, chemical fertilizers and the typical chemical treatments to soil and also tilling, that destroys the microbe biome in the soil. And the microbes are there to break down the minerals into bioavailable particle sizes that the plants can uptake, which is, you know, what are called angstrom particles, which are just a few atoms of the mineral in a particle, or individual atoms in a particle, which is known as the monoatomics or Ormus elements.
Monoatomic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, so if you're living in an area where you don't naturally have a lot of that soil, and let's say you know the soil hasn't been particularly nurtured, then you can add this balance of these minerals and the monoatomics by putting down these volcanic rock powders, because volcanic rock is high in the monoatomics. You can also put down ocean water that's been diluted, and microbes will help break down whatever minerals are in the soil, from inorganic to bioavailable particles. And then you can also use organic matter, you know, compost and stuff like that, because plants are actually Ormus creators. They take the minerals in the soil, break them down, and convert them into angstrom and monoatomic particles within their structure. And so when they die, you know, that plant material left is high in monoatomics and angstrom minerals. And that's why people use compost. So you can use all of that. You know, For example, I built a winter garden, or no, summer garden, sorry, that's in the shade. And I had like 20 truckloads of mulch brought in from tree companies.
Yeah.
Because they love to get rid of it. You know, they'll give it to you for free.
You're talking about the chips, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the wood chips. They're the bomb,
aren't
they?
Just hardwood mulch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it put down 3 feet thick.
Yeah.
And then I sprayed it with the effective microorganisms, and I put rock powders down on it.
Wow.
And in about a year,
wow,
it went from 3 feet thick to about a foot thick, and it turned into the most beautiful black nutrient-dense soil ever.
Yeah.
And of course, then you can add even more rock powders to it. David Wolf, for example, he showed me a picture. It was really cool. He took this to the nth degree, where He put down 18 rock powders on his already volcanic soil in Hawaii at his ranch, and then he grew various crops in it, and he showed me pictures of corn that he grew in it, and they were heirloom varieties of corn, and the rows on the corn ears spiraled around the cob.
Whoa.
And that is a clear indication these things are, yeah, because what they're doing, plants convert, you know, we're taught that plants convert solar energy into their bodies, their matter. But what they're really doing is also converting scalar energy, which is superluminal light. It's just not just the light we're familiar with. And so those waves flow in spirals.
Spirals.
So when you, if you see these spiral structures in your plants, then what you're seeing is the manifestation of that scalar energy converting into matter. So it was really cool to see these spiral ears of corn that David Wolf had. But, you know, he put, like I said, he put down 18 types of rock powders. He put down glacial milk. He put down microbes and compost and who knows what else. And he got crazy results.
At his Noni farm out in Hawaii.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Noni land or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fun. Ken Roll is here. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So vegetables, they can be grown at different times of the year if they're protected, and they don't really care if it's summer or winter or fall. I mean, don't they have to have a certain amount of light, though? I mean, I'm curious.
They
about
do.
That.
I mean, and it's very very dependent on the cycles of the seasons. Even if you're in a warm climate, a tropical climate, or whatever, even so, these plants, they pay attention to the energies coming to the earth, the position of the earth's axis, the magnetic field, all kinds of stuff. So they do go through cycles, even if it stays warm throughout the winter, you know, in the summer and whatever. So even in places like Hawaii, you've got growing seasons.
Yes. Because they just know.
Mm-hmm, they do. And it's best if we eat and live with those cycles as well. You know, there are books about eating food with the seasons and that kind of thing.
Sure,
and you have better health when you do.
Sure. Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, they're all in sync with the stars and the moon and the whole Rudolf Steiner stuff and the planets. And then it just makes sense for us to eat it. And then, of course, you can take it down too, like Adam Bergstrom does, to a particular time in each organ of the body.
Absolutely.
As a fun time to, you know, like I was talking about the oranges, the spleen, pancreas, and or whatever, kidney time, you can do wild things. You can probably take it down in the second if you were really into it. You know what I'm saying?
Or at the very least, you could measure down, the cycles of your own body and then eat in tune with the cycles of your own body.
Yeah.
You know, there are ways of doing that with, you know, these quantum biofeedback devices, for example, like the SCIO or the Indigo or the Life System. And there are other technologies.
So you talked about sun and the scalar, and scalar would be kind of like chi or divine spirit, would you think? Spirit, God, kind of thing. And so
it's intelligent superluminal light.
That's it, right? The bomb, that's everything. Okay, so we got that, and then the sun, I guess, in the heat and the light. So could it be argued then, and we're going to talk to this fellow tomorrow, that our bodies could do the same thing if we really wanted to do that and live off of this stuff as well?
Well, there are people,
this fellow I'm going to talk to tomorrow, I think he's gone 10 days without food or water, and he did a documentary on him, because, you know, isn't the body and the gut and all that compared, Ken Rolla, to roots and the microbiome of everything, and aren't we just plants somewhere along the line?
Yeah, the human body is a scalar antenna. It's a fractal scalar antenna. And there are people like Dr. Thomas Bearden who have shown that and there are others, many others, Bruce Lipton, there's a book called The Genie in Your Genes. You can study the science of epigenetics. And they're showing that this energy field of superluminal light or consciousness that flows in and out of cell structures, it dictates the functions inside the cells. And the cells have these proteins that stick up like antennas that pick it up and regulate the functions in the cells. So without question, I mean, there's scientific proof of this, that you know, consciousness is flowing in and out of the body, and it, of course, it goes way beyond what conventional science is figuring out so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, my concept is, what can we do with this in reality? And turns out there's a lot that we can do with this. If you understand this, you can, for example, eat foods high in ormus, raise the superconductivity in the body, and then, first of all, things heal up, you feel better, you look better, your health improves, but also your mind improves, your emotions improve, and you just become more balanced simply because you've got more of this God consciousness and your own consciousness, which is a part of it, flowing in and out of the physical body.
And I would argue that this,
so there's a lot of
this consciousness, this light, has one thing in mind, and that's everything that we can think about as far, Ken, as adjectives, right? Whether it be love, expansion, beauty, compassion, right? That's where this stuff call comes from. So it has our best interest in mind. So let it flow. It does. That's what it does for a living, right? It doesn't.
Yeah, we're part of a galactic body or a galactic circuit, if you want to think of it that way, of this energy flowing through everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's multidimensional, so it passes through different dimensions of time and space, or different frequencies, if you want to think of it that way. And it slows down and coagulates into the physical matter that we're familiar with. And of course, it affects consciousness. And it is, consciousness is a form of this energy. And so the more that we understand about the nature of it and what we can do with it in a practical sense as physical beings and spiritual beings, then the happier and healthier we are. And, you know, that's why the spiritual path, you know, a lot of people who maybe are not very experienced with spiritual matters and are kind of living on autopilot, so to speak, kind of think that the spirituality, not to be confused with religion, but spirituality, that it's just about being holy. And that's not what it is at all. In my mind, what it really is about is understanding the nature of our reality so that we can navigate through it with happiness and abundance and, you know, and fulfillment and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well said. Who we are, where we are, how we got here, where we're going, how we all fit in with all of this. And then we can use this information to navigate, right, to the best for everybody, for our neighbor, for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I was mentioning to somebody the other day that, that you know, I run my company on a love-based model rather than a fear-based model. So I don't make decisions the way that most companies do. And most business people would think that a lot of things that I do are crazy. But it works better than the fear-based model for everybody.
What would be an example of the difference in like a choice?
Well, for example, salaries. I pay my people much higher salaries than the local market demands. Mm-hmm. And people would say that I'm stupid for doing that because I could get away with paying less.
Right.
But I don't care about that. What I care about is my staff having a decent standard of living and being able to enjoy their lives and that kind of stuff. Or, for example, the mission statement of our company. You know, most companies, the primary mission is to make a profit. That's the secondary mission of our company. You know, most people will say, well, it has to be the primary mission because otherwise if you don't make money, then your company doesn't survive and it's extinct.
Of course. But,
you know, that doesn't mean that it has to be the primary motivation. The primary motivation for me is to improve the lives of the planet, my staff, and myself. That's the primary mission.
That's great.
And the secondary mission is to make a profit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, because if we're making a profit and we don't have the first, what's the point of making a profit?
Yeah, because do you think that energy then, if you were doing it the opposite way, it affects the products and affects everything?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I'll give you an example. A lady called us the other day and the banks made a mistake. And we couldn't figure out which bank made the mistake, if it was hers or ours, but she got double charged for some products and it sent her bank account negative. And of course she wasn't happy about it and she called us up. And so we looked through our bank accounts and nowhere in any of our bank accounts or credit card processing or anything could we see two charges going through. And she showed us her bank statements and she didn't show any either. And I said to her, well, you know, rather than like waste time haggling over this and trying to figure out, you know, where it's really coming from, just let me take care of it. I'll send you another order. I'll send you two extra orders and I'll pay for, you know, not only, well, I'll pay for your bank charges, whatever, you know, bank charges you incur. So basically, you know, I paid for her losses, and I gave her an extra order on top of it for free because she was a good customer. And most fear-based businesses would never do that because they would look at it like, well, it's not my fault. We didn't do anything wrong. It's not showing our bank account. We're not, you know, therefore, for principle, we're not going to do that's the fear-based model. I don't believe
it. So the fear would be, on a fear-based model, the fear
of not having enough.
Not having enough, right? There's not
scarcity,
enough to go around,
the
right?
Belief so, that, yeah. Yeah, the belief that money is scarce or anything is scarce. It's the model that we've been mind-controlled into believing in, and it absolutely is not true. I believe consciousness creates reality, and I believe I'm responsible for my reality. So if something like this occurs in my reality, then I have the power to solve it in a way that's good for everybody.
Yeah, well, good job. Well, that's why we love you, Ken. Ken's DeBom, his company, freshandalive.com. You can go on One Radio Network and get there and try his scalar energy device. It's really nice. I had three, and Ken was so generous. But I gave one, shared one with a good friend of mine. She's, I think, 95 around the sun and was having trouble sleeping, and I brought it over to her a few weeks ago. Here, take this, plug this in. And you know what? She really felt it. The first day, she felt the difference, and it's right there next to her bed. These things work. It's a scalar energy device. If you use promo code ONERADIO, Ken will give you a deal. It'll also then take you to his whole website. He's got all kinds of cool things, these rock dust things and stuff like that, all he was talking about. It's right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. Scalar energy device, and I get you to Ken's site. Previously with Dr. Thomas Rau, the Pericles Medical Clinic in Switzerland. Their specialty is detoxification. We asked him about far infrared saunas.
The far infrared sauna goes much deeper into the skin subcutaneously. It has its maximum about 4 to 5 centimeters below the skin surface.
You've actually measured materials in the sweat, and you've proven this.
Yes, the patients, after a week doing this every day, half an hour or 45 minutes, they react quite much with sweat. Then you can collect this sweat, then you measure this, and then you find how much they detoxify with the heavy metals. It's really amazing.
It's really amazing. You can get yourself one of these, guys. Well, you can get the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. We think it's truly one of the best ones on the planet today. I know that's a kind of a strong statement, but the more I look into it and how these things were created, and in a medical university in Taiwan, they've won 5 major international awards on the whole technology. It's a very special technology, this far infrared that they use, that really does its thing better. I just say it really does its thing, and it gets very, very warm. Extremely low EMFs, and then even any EMFs you do get on the bottom and near your feet, you're being protected by the far infrared rays anyway, so it really doesn't matter. If there is any infrared or electromagnetic issues, I get this email all the time, I would be dead because I do it every day, and I'm feeling better and better, so yeah. You get more driving in your car or using your juicer than you do in one of these saunas. We have authorization to give you a deal on these. I can't put it in print, but if you'd like to get one, it's an individual sauna. You don't plug it in. There's no plumbing. It gets up to about 150, 160, 170 degrees, and then you get the far infrared rays. Put the towel over the chair that comes in there. Your head is sticking out, and it's just really a nice way to turn on the parasympathetic system if you're all kind of whacked out a little bit or too much coffee or whatever. It's a beautiful machine, and we'll fix you up. And the regular price is $11.95 Continental U.S. delivered, and I'll give you a good deal. Just email me, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously, with our conversation with Brandon Amalani, we love the rice sprouts. I tell you what, they're happening. My little body likes that. Ooh, man, I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people get amazing results. It's something as simple as sprouted and fermented rice is just, like, so nutrient dense, so easily absorbable. And it builds the chi and the organ systems in the body. It's very neutral for most people. So it's just, you can feed it to your kids. It's really safe. And I get more positive feedback on that one than any of the other powders. But yeah, it's basically an heirloom rice source that we source from a small family in Japan. So it's like an heirloom grade rice. And then we take that and do a fermentation process on it. So it combines the endosperm, the sprout, and the rice bran, but it makes the bran soluble. And the fermentation process actually unlocks a lot of... Fermentation has this really amazing ability to create nutrients out of nothing through that process. So yeah, that's a really special product in a lot of ways.
Rice sprouts, really nice product. Front page, One Radio Network, Shen Blossom, you see the ad. This is where you get the goji berry, Shizandra, ginseng, a lot of cool things. And try these rice sprouts for you and the kids. Front page, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic. If the music is grooving, it makes you feel happy like an old-time movie. I'll tell you about the magic and it'll free your soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a...
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
And as you can tell, after listening to Ken for 30 minutes, he believes in magic. So do we here at One Radio Network. It's an honor to have Ken roll on the third Monday of the month. Ken, when you do oranges, do you juice them up or... Do you take the pulp out and get everything or a mixture of?
Well, since I grow them in my yard, sometimes I just eat them right off the tree and sometimes I'll juice them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it depends on the, you know, the mood I'm in, because oranges do have a lot of sugar in them. So usually I don't, it's too sweet for me, but every now and then, like this weekend, we had some visitors and we juiced some oranges.
Yeah.
So I do it both ways.
There's a fellow up in Pennsylvania, an Amish man, that he ships out different grass-fed stuff, you know, raw milk, raw goat's milk, and he's got buffalo milk, camel milk, crazy, you know, raw. And I ordered some buffalo yogurt, water buffalo yogurt. You know what it tastes like?
Probably licking an underarm.
Like water buffalo. It's like, oh, yeah. OMG. I mean, I just wanted to try it. You know, it's really gamey, but I guess it got a little good probies in there anyway, so I bought some. Yeah. What's the difference between the probies like in a kefir or fermented dairy thing and other probies, of vegetarian kind of probies like kimchi or stuff like that? I guess they're just variety.
Yeah, it's different strains. You know, it's kind of like the difference between making beer or wine or vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take certain microbes to make wine, you ferment it for a certain period of time, you get wine, and you let it keep fermenting and you get vinegar. Or you can use a different culture, like yeast for beer, and make beer with grains. So the ingredients and the culture itself can have radically different results. But ultimately, you know, you want a broad spectrum of probiotics. So when you buy store-bought probiotics, very often they will have dairy-based probiotics and soil-based microbes and, you know, plant-based microbes. And that's what I look for. I look for the widest spectrum getting probiotics.
So when you do your garden and knowing what it's in there, do you have to... Do you sometimes not even wash it and get some of those little probies from the soil?
Oh, I usually don't wash it, yeah. I usually don't. If it's growing, particularly if it's growing in my greenhouse.
That's what I mean, yeah. You know where it's been, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're getting probiotics on the surface of it, and in some cases B12 that will help with health overall. And one of the problems that we have with B12 deficiency is the fact that we're harvesting food from remote areas and washing it and then having it shipped and all that. So the B12 gets washed off of it,
mm-hmm.
And the microbes that create B12 in the gut. And so by growing it yourself. This is why, you know, back in the day, like when my grandmother grew up, she didn't eat what most people would consider particularly healthy. She ate a typical Southern fried diet. You know, she raised all the animals that she ate on her farm. She raised all of her food. And but she lived to be 99 years old, and she was quite healthy. And it's because, number one, she was eating a nutrient-dense food. And they knew to rotate their crops, for example, so that the microbes would have time to break the nutrients down in the soil. And then they also fertilized the soil with chicken manure and compost and things like that, as opposed to chemicals. So the soil was naturally replenished and fed. And then they would rinse off the produce, but they didn't wash it with soap or anything. And so they were getting a lot of B12 in various ways, along with, you know, everything else, enzymes and probiotics and nutrients.
Are you okay with using animal compost, or do you just stay away from that being vegetarian?
I don't have really access to it, so I don't use it, and I wouldn't want to use it. But as a matter of fact, though, my mom has a farm in the mountains of North Carolina, and she wanted to get a company to come and harvest her hay for money, and they wanted to put chicken manure down. And I told her, absolutely, don't let them do it, not because of the animal feces, but because it was from a conventional chicken farm, which is loaded with pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, man.
So I told her if she wanted to do that, at least use chicken manure from an organic chicken farm.
Right. I know a place here in Austin that actually advertises that. Their compost is all from grass-fed cows and that. And that's pretty cool that you can even find that. But most places, you don't know. But wouldn't the fermentation process kind of eat up any really yuck stuff from a regular moo cow? Or
if they're fed pharmaceuticals. It's known that not just animal waste but human waste, the pharmaceuticals don't get digested, and that's why our sewage treatment plants are loaded with pharmaceuticals from humans flushing them down the toilets, because they're not digested. So break them down over time, mm-hmm, using microbes on the soil, mm-hmm, but it's just better not to put them down in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So the sewage systems, the way they're set up, they never get rid of the farms, all the stuff over the counter or the prescription medicines, huh?
No, and I know in this area and in most places, the sewage treatment plants will take their waste, their sludge, and sell it to farmers, which will spread it. They'll spread it on their land, which is incredibly toxic, not just the pharmaceuticals, but heavy metals and all kinds of toxins.
And Ken, the same thing is true for the water, right? I mean, but are you okay with doing, how do you water your gardens? Do you use city water?
We're on a well, so we use treated well water. I have a very different water purification system than most people. I use hydrogen peroxide because here in Florida, we have very hard water, and it has a lot of sulfur in it. And hardness is the most difficult thing to deal with.
Yes.
So I built a system that uses hydrogen peroxide instead of chlorine to disinfect the water. And then it goes through a bunch of different filtration media, and it's also vortex to remove sediment. And then it also goes through a water structuring system that runs it through an electromagnetic field that charges the mineral particles in the water, so they don't stick to the pipes.
Wow.
So by the time it's all done with that, we can water our plants with that, and they just really thrive because the oxygen in the peroxide is actually really good for people and animals and plants.
What's your TDS like right out of the well, you know, before you even do anything to it? Is it way up there?
Ours is about 300 ppm.
Oh, that's not really a lot compared to Texas wells. Wow.
No, I mean, Texas is got crazy
mine,
hard water.
I dug a well. We had a well dug about, I don't know, 10 years ago. I had the extra money just in case you're ever going to sell the house. You know, being on rainwater, you got to have a well. They won't let you sell it without a... So I thought, well, I got the money, and it was expensive, but this water is terrible. You can't use it for anything. It's like 1,300 parts per million. 1,300.
Yeah, I know. I know. At 300.
Yeah.
Even at 300 untreated, it'll kill plants.
Yeah.
Because if you sprinkle it, you know, if you spray with a sprinkler, the minerals will deposit on the leaves and block the sunlight and kill the plants.
Yeah, I get this rust thing. I was starting to use it for some fruit trees, and I got this kind of rust appearance on them. What is that, iron maybe? Who knows?
Yeah, that's iron. Is it's that iron oxide.
Not good, huh?
And you can remove that with conventional filtration media, and some people will use softeners, you know, with salt.
It's a mess.
Which we do. We have heavy iron in ours, and so have us the softer, but we use sea salt. We don't use refined salt.
Wow.
And then also we have a reclamation system, so when it backwashes, it's not polluting the environment.
So then you'll put that right into your home, and you can shower or bathe with that water after you juice.
Oh yeah, we have beautiful water for bathing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I installed two big soaking tubs this year, and it's just wonderful.
And what kind of parts per million do you have in that water after you're all done, do you know?
About 50.
Wow, that's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also because it goes through the structuring device, it doesn't, you don't get sedimentation on the faucets and things like that. It used to be when we first moved here, you know, we would have to replace our faucets every year because the reactivity of the minerals in the water would just dissolve the metal sinks and the metal fixtures.
Yeah, that's what people have a hard time.
Water is a complicated subject because, you know, it's not just chemistry. It's homeopathy, the clustering of the water molecules. Water, first of all, it's a liquid crystal. And so you've got these H2O molecules that like to hold on to each other in groups of six if it's healthy water. And they'll do this dance, kind of like a square dance, where they do-si-do with, you know, one molecule with five other molecules. And then they let go and dance with five others if the water is healthy. And they do that in billionths of a second. And so when they're doing that, that creates patterns. It's kind of like if you were watching one of these old dance shows, you know, where they're doing like ballroom dancing or like Lawrence Welk or something, where they're, you know, dancing in formations and swinging around and making patterns on the dance floor from above. It's kind of what water does. It creates these patterns in the clustering that when ingested by plants or animals will either trigger a healing response or a disease response depending on the pattern. And so that's the whole concept of water structuring. It's doing things to affect the clustering of the water molecules to have a beneficial effect. And so pressurization, heat, filtration, sending water through angled pipes, and any kind of harsh movements, that kind of stuff, chemical treatment, all of that damages the clustering of the molecules and creates a damaging homeopathic pattern.
So
if you run it through conventional filtration, all that, you've got to restructure it into a beneficial homeopathy.
And David Wolf was talking, I think I saw a video years ago, I think he did this whole spiral pipes up in his home in Canada, didn't he? Where he just ran them through the Victor Schauberger kind of way around and around.
Yeah, he got calcium metal pipes. Yeah, you can actually get calcium pipes. It's a metal. And he bent them into probably the Fibonacci sequence spirals and had it vortexing. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Mimicking the work of Victor Schauberger. Anybody that really wants to understand water needs to study Victor Schauberger.
Yeah, he's the dude.
From Austria.
Yeah,
he's the Einstein of water. And so a lot of people have been utilizing Schauberger's techniques for improving water. And we actually have a little bit of Schauberger technology in our water system. We have a little vortex trap that will capture a lot of the minerals and the hardness and the sediment and keep it out of the water.
If you were building a home from scratch somewhere, what would you have your water pipes made out of? What would you use?
If it was a house like I'm living in now, which is pretty big, I would probably use plastic
or the
flex
rubber
pipe.
Yeah, the flex.
PEX.
Yeah,
you know what they call PEX.
Yeah.
Because you can, number one, it's not too hard to get, and it's, it's been proven to work. But also, you can make sweeping curves with it instead of sharp angles.
Right.
And you can spiral it and those kinds of things. Obviously, you know, ideally you don't want plastic because it is going to negatively affect the homeopathy of the water and could potentially even pass some of the plastic chemistry into the water. But
No matter what kind of clean up, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's easy to clean up.
You know, conventional filtration can get the chemistry out, and then structuring and such can, you know, you can clean up the homeopathy of water and then add ormus into the water. But, you know, right now, like in my house, I've got copper plumbing,
and
copper has its issues because the copper will dissolve into the plumbing. Or it'll start leaking, or it will get sedimentation in it. And, you know, there's no ideal. I mean, glass piping would probably be ideal, but there's,
good luck with that.
You know, good luck with that, trying to find it and implement it.
Or have it made, you know, a kabillion dollars. And, could you imagine?
So practically speaking, I would use like PEX pipe and keep the 90 degree bends to a minimum, probably eliminate them entirely. And then structure the water and do what I'm doing now. You know, have a peroxide system and filtration system with certain media. Because my filtration media, for example, we have gemstones in them and like garnet, so that they actually impart frequencies into the water. And then I have a miracule system for drinking water, so that that not only structures the water, it puts ormus into the water. It makes healing water. And it's really interesting, like my ice cubes in my refrigerator, they're always hollow because of the ormus in the water. It levitates up out of the ice cube tray while it's freezing. And so you get these ice cubes with little stalagmites sticking up out of them. They're hollow.
Stalactites. So, yeah, you know, I just flashed on something. I wonder if you could afford it. I wonder, could you do stainless steel pipes? You think that would be good?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and that would be a good alternative. But the thing about metal, and Victor Schauberger showed this, is that metal also damages the water because of the electrical activity of the metal. You know, it actually acts like an anode, and it will charge the water in a way that's not beneficial. And you can fix that with these water structuring devices like there's one called the it's the actually the one I have. It's the something blaster, scale blaster. And this thing, you wrap some wires with very specific windings around your pipes and connect it to this field generator, and it generates a pulsing field that will change the charge of the ions in the water and keep the minerals from sticking to your pipes and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
But so there are things like that that you can do. And then also after we get our water out of the Miracule system, we'll put it into an egg-shaped ceramic container with ceramics in it that will impart frequencies, and also gemstones and things that will impart frequencies into the water and structure it even more. And so so we do quite a bit. And when people come here, you know, they're always surprised at like this weekend we had visitors from out of town, and they're always like, wow, this is crazy. They look at our greenhouse and our plants and stuff, and they see our, you know, crazy amounts of food growing, and they take a bath in our water, and it's like pristine, and it feels good. The drinking water is kind of slippery because it's got ormus in it.
That's fun.
And then of course the house is surrounded with rest shields everywhere, so usually people come, like we had a visitor from New York City, and he's got a couple of rest shields, but he's immersed in so much EM living in the city that he said when he came here, he noticed a difference, he slept much more deeply because we don't have Wi-Fi. We don't have any EM fields around here.
Yeah, I bet so. Ken Rolla, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're getting in some good emails, and we're going to get to them, and we're going to talk to Ken about, get his ideas on what exactly in his research and theories and whatever you want to call it, of what these cell phones and all these things are doing structurally, and spiritually, emotionally, and physically to the body. And we'll do that after this. Previously with chemist, biologist, and nutritionist George Altgeld, we asked him this. And so what do you think about Dr. Seneff's contention that as these glyphosates are in the soil, they bust the sulfur cycle, and that's really detrimental to the body?
It's extremely detrimental. Sulfur is such an important detoxifying agent for the entire body, and especially for the liver. You've got to have trace minerals so that the liver can build these compounds that are essential for getting itself cleaned. And that lady who was talking about sulfur, man, play that ad every chance you get, because our foods are so deficient in sulfur, and it is a big deal for the liver to have enough sulfur to make all those compounds that it uses to detoxify itself. Not just sulfur, they're all important, but sulfur is the one that we're so deficient in, and we need sulfur.
Thanks, George. I had some this morning. You might want to give it a try. You can click an order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. 3 locations, 3 prices delivered. And if you like more than £4 for a discount, email me, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Daniel Vitalis is here, and we're talking about his new product, Taboo, that really has short-term and long-term effects on the libido and the whole sexual experience.
We really wanted to redefine the category. You know, we wanted something that worked in the short term that would help increase the blood flow to erectile tissue, the penis, the vagina, the clitoris, the nipples. We wanted something that would increase blood flow to that erectile tissue, but we also wanted something that would work on the long term, helping to increase sex hormone in both men and women to give people a better quality of sex life over time as well. And we wanted to do that in a formula that tasted delicious. In other words, we wanted something that when you tasted it, you kind of wanted to take another dose. And we achieved all three of those things. It's delicious. It works tonight, and then it works over the course of time as well. So this is a really great investment in your sex life and something that you and your lover are going to really enjoy sharing together.
And be careful, because you may start to increase the birth rate, but we need to do that. But don't blame Daniel or One Radio Network. We don't take responsibility for that. This is a pretty cool product, and he's got some great, great things. As you know, the colostrum, pine pollen, elk, velvet antler, just a really a nice selection of products. Daniel Vitalis, really high quality. Check it out. And Easter Thrival link, OneRadioNetwork.com. Down there in Florida, where Ken is, Stockton Aloe has been making some fresh frozen aloe for a long time. Ken told us last month that aloe is just loaded with this ormus. I am on my, let me see, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm on my 12th half gallon. Oh, in the 3-month period, and I just love this product. And if you click on the banner right underneath the slideshow, you'll see it as an horizontal banner, and it's called Stockton Aloe. Discover the healing power of aloe, number one, 100% pure, fresh, frozen aloe. Nothing in there, just the aloe. And you click on that banner, and you'll get a minimum is a 2 1-half gallons plastic, along with a free face cream that's a really nice product. And it'll come in, and it's very, very well packaged the way they do it in styrofoam. It'll come in, they really get good at it. They only ship Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so you make sure it doesn't stay over the weekend. And when you get it, depending on where you live and the weather, but there'll probably only be 10 to 16 ounces that is thawed out the way they package it with some ice and the styrofoam. You pour that into a glass container, a mason jar. I've got some of these plastic goat from the goat place, you know, the lids, so you don't have to use the metal. And those are pretty cool. And you put that in the fridge, drink that up, and then put on, you know, put the container on the counter, thaw 8 ounces or so, pour that off, and you drink that. And, man, it is the most bitter, alive, happening aloe that you can get anywhere on the planet, I think, other than, of course, your own plants would be the very best. But yeah, I can't imagine how many plants it would take to pure fillet and get a half gallon of material. And he's got the, you know, he's got the pulp and the juice in there, leaves it all in there. It's really, really great. Put this on your hair, put this on your face, drink it, your stomach and everything's gonna love it. It's a beautiful product. Stockton Aloe One. Front page, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
Swing sets are empty, light dirt turned dark of the night. Center of this town, it used to whirl in the glow of twilight. It might look like God's away with all the trouble. These days will come home before the girls are gone.
we talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
It's the third Monday of the month. We talk with Ken Rolla, health educator, nutritionist, inventor, researcher, raconteur, mad about town, bon vivant, oh, and also freshandalive.com. You get a link to his website. Just look on that golden pyramid thing. And what are the kind of equipment things you sell, Ken? I know you got the rest shield, the golden pyramid, and the water vitalizer plus the structure. Do you sell other equipment?
We do. We sell various little devices for EMF protection, you know, for cell phones and electronics and homes and that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And we have a device that's not on our website that is called the Home Shield, and it is designed for a large area of EMF protection, like a 100-foot radius, like a whole house EMF protection, but also for it'll improve plant growth in a large area of several hundred feet. And also the primary function is for clearing pollutants out of the atmosphere. So, you know, chemtrail pollutants, nuclear fallout, that kind of stuff.
Cool. And, so you actually put this out in the yard? Put it on the yard?
Yeah, you put it out in the yard. It's solar powered and it just runs. It's about the size of a 2-gallon bucket. And it'll clear a 75-mile radius of pollution. And then, of course, when you do that, it normalizes the weather. It doesn't drop the pollution back down on you. It sends it out into space. And so so when you do that, that balances the charge in the atmosphere and you get normal weather for your area instead of these extremes that we see from all the weather manipulation that's been going on the planet.
That's crazy. And what kind of technology is that? Was that more scalar stuff?
Yeah, it's scalar wave technology. It creates a big scalar vortex that at the ground level, it's maybe a quarter mile in diameter. It's like an upside down tornado of energy, and it folds in on itself just like a tornado. So it gets stronger as it goes away, and the apex is out in space. And so it just acts like a vacuum cleaner. Hmm. And because of the frequencies that it uses natural minerals to create natural frequencies. So it only picks up pollutants. It doesn't affect the atmosphere in any way other than that. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have any negative side effects.
You've written, Ken, that the cell phones are like the new cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
Evidence is mounting that so many really bad things are happening with all this stuff going on, 5G. Talk a little bit about that, what your research is showing, what we're looking at here.
Well, you know, a lot of people still think that there's not much evidence that cell phones cause damage, but now there have been landmark studies. There was a $25 million study that was done about a year ago showing that cell phones cause cancer. And there have been several other studies showing that cell phones cause cancer. Brain tumors, there have been studies showing that cell phones cause brain function and memory problems, brain tumors, heart problems, and sleep problems. I noticed this years ago when cell phone damage started surpassing nutritional deficiencies for causing sleep problems. Mm. You know, it used to be that sleep problems were typically caused by mineral deficiencies like magnesium that allow the mind and the thyroid and the body to relax. And thyroid issues in general will cause sleep problems because that usually comes concurrent with accelerated brainwave states. And so cell phones, because they operate at billions of cycles per second, the brain, the nervous system, the cells, they're designed to entrain with pulsing of any kind. And the reason being is that the body is designed to entrain with a pulsing in the Earth's atmosphere called the Schumann resonance, which is supposed to be pulsing at about 7.83 cycles per second. For the main Schumann resonance. And that slows the brain and the body down, and the cells down at night when you go to bed, and it gets you into deep sleep states and deep brainwave states and slower brainwave states. But when you're sticking a cell phone next to your head, the more that you do that, the brain and the body are trying to entrain with the pulsing from that cell phone, and it's operating at billions of cycles per second. And so it basically fries the body and the brain and the nervous system. and accelerates the brainwave state so that they won't shut down at night, and therefore it causes sleep problems. And because it's accelerating brainwave states, that affects the thyroid. So it creates thyroid problems as well, which create a whole host of other health issues. And because cell phones are so convenient and so useful, people do not want to hear this. They do not want to hear you know,
I'm
limit
not
their
giving
cell
up my
use.
iPhone, dude. No way, yeah. Man.
So, and it's understandable because sure, they are very convenient.
Sure, sure. So Ken, without, say, if you didn't have a cell phone, are the exposure to the towers, which most people are, unless you live way out in the country, even there it's hard to get away from them, is it same, I know, same, talk about a little bit difference between putting one up to your head and maybe having a cell phone tower 2 miles away, I guess.
Well, first of all, you know, cell phones emit microwaves, which heat tissue. They excite water molecules, mm-hmm. and that heats the water in your cells and heats your tissue up. You can actually see this with thermography. You can get a thermographic snapshot of, say, your head without using a cell phone for a period of time, and then turn a cell phone on, put it next to your head for a few minutes, and then take a thermographic photo, and you'll see heating of tissue in the head and the brain. So the microwaves heat, along with everything else that it does, it heats the tissue.
Yeah.
But you've got this strong localized microwave source right next to your head. And so even the cell phone companies now recognize this, and they even include in their literature now, which nobody ever reads, those little booklets that come with your cell phone. It tells you not to put the cell phone up to your head. It tells you to keep it a distance from your head. So they know that, and it's kind of, you know, legal CYA that they put it in there so they can say, well, we warned people, so that when the lawsuits start flying, like it did with cigarettes, that they can say, well, we're not culpable because we told people not to do it. But you've got a strong microwave source right up next to the head, whereas cell towers is a very strong source also, but it, at a distance, it's still very damaging, but it's not going to heat tissue up the way that microwave right up to your head will. However, one of the things that most people don't know about cell towers is, number one, there are a lot of cell towers around now that are hidden and look like other things other than cell phone towers. And I don't mean those big clunky towers that they try to make look like trees. I'm not talking about that. There are now towers that are masquerading as light poles, just regular old light poles that you know, you would not know unless you were looking that it was a cell tower, because they know that this EMF is becoming an issue with people, so they want to hide these cell towers as much as possible. So they're putting more and more of them out. And also this has to do with migrating to 5G technology, which
right.
we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I've seen some articles and seen actually, and there's places in California, and I suspect other places, where they're 20 and 30 yards away to do this 5G blanket thing on telephone poles, right?
Right. 5G, the wavelengths are so short with 5G that they don't have as much power, transmission power, as I with see. Larger wavelengths. And so they have to have towers closer together, much closer together.
Uh-huh.
And this is why that 5G, if it's fully implemented, will have, you know, thousands of times more towers around the planet than we currently have. And they will be ubiquitous. They'll be everywhere.
Everywhere.
And,
yeah. Wow.
And that's what people are concerned about. But also, what I've discovered kind of serendipitously because of some of the work I do behind the scenes, we've discovered that cell phone towers have military equipment on them as well. They have scalar energy technology on them, not just conventional electromagnetic microwave cell towers, but they've got what I believe is some kind of either energy weapon technology or frequency control technology for suppressing consciousness, perhaps. It definitely has a detrimental effect on people. But I've discovered on multiple occasions now that some of these cell towers, including the little ones that masquerade as light poles and such, that they've got scalar energy technology on them. And, of course, nobody's talking about that. The cell phone companies have these, their techs have these special, what they believe are EMF meters, but they're actually scalar energy detectors, because we've seen in a few occasions where these AT&T wireless technicians would come out and be detecting scalar energy devices when they and also claiming that they're interfering with cell towers when that's impossible, because scalar technology that I've seen implemented will not interfere with electromagnetic technology. It'll structure it, but it won't interfere with it. So that means that they've got scalar energy technologies, and the technicians probably don't even know that. They're probably just, you know, doing what they're told.
Sure, yeah.
But the meters that they have for them are very, very different. So we've got that to deal with as well. It's not just, oh gosh, EMF is bad for us and cell phones are bad for us. I think that we have an active implementation of technologies to suppress consciousness, to dumb people down, to make people complacent, to lower their health, to reduce population, you know. And that may sound conspiratorial, but I've been privy to a lot of information working directly with like scientists in the NSA and the CIA. I've got relatives who work for the CIA and stuff, and they tell me a lot about what's really going on. So I'm not just like reading conspiracy stuff on the internet and coming to these conclusions. I'm getting it from reputable sources. And so my impression is that it's part of population reduction, and it's also part of making people complacent and corralling them into more concentrated population centers and those kinds of things.
Yeah. Our money guy, Andrew Goss, he says that, you know, whether or not it's true that there's lots of FEMA camps, you know, a la Alex Jones out there, you know, just waiting. Mm-hmm. He said there very well may be. And his contention is that when these things do get filled up someday, if they do, that people will walk in voluntarily and you won't have to corral people in, because
I agree.
They're just going to believe that this is the place to go for your safety or whatever.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is look at what's going on right now. Forget about FEMA camps. People are asking for their own enslavement. People are asking for their own health to be damaged.
Sure,
you know, they're
sure,
gladly sure. using these technologies that destroy themselves. And when people bring up the point that it's damaging, they don't want to hear it. People have been so mind controlled that, yeah, absolutely, they yeah. will.
They'll just walk in,
and they
right?
won't, of course, be called camps. But you can. There are websites where you can go and look up the addresses of these camps and Google map them and see them from satellite view and from street view.
Uh-huh.
And the interesting thing is, you know, you can see the aerial view, but then when you look at the street view, all you see is these 15-foot high dirt berms around them. They've concealed them from the street view, so that all you see are these big dirt mounds around them. You don't see the actual camps.
Yeah.
Now, I don't personally think that they're ever going to be utilized, at least not to any degree, because what I see going on is that the powers that be are losing their power, and all of their plans and schemes to enslave humanity are falling apart, have been for quite a while. A
lot of arrest going on, a lot of arrest around the country,
yeah,
around the world.
Did you see that, like, there were 38, was it 11 princes and 38 others,
man,
or was it 38 princes
in
Saudi Arabia?
This guy in
arrested?
Saudi Arabia, man, I don't know what he's on, but he's just... He's corralling them up, man. And
yeah, and there's been a ton of other folks around the world in positions of power being arrested and thrown in jail. And supposedly, I don't know if it's true, but there's a couple of pictures floating around on the internet of Hillary Clinton and John McCain with like these ankle braces on their legs that supposedly are hiding hiding one of those, you know, those bracelets for prisoners. You know, that track where you're going and stuff.
Really?
Supposedly they've been arrested. It all may be nonsense,
but
you know. But there are, you know, you can verify a lot of these arrests that are going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
So
I suspect a lot of this whole sexual stuff too is part of that in a way. I don't know. There's something
absolutely
weird going on. You know, actually, I know